Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I welcome you to another edition of Marnie's Friends. If you have ever been in need of an armchair encourager, I'm sure you would have wished that you could have known Recliner Woman. She's my big sister, Marla Hartson, a cancer survivor herself. Marla is here today to share with us some of the strategies that she learned as she was journeying through cancer and also walking along beside some of her friends who have gone through cancer. As Marla walked through cancer herself, she did more than just survive. She paid attention, she asked questions, she learned a ton, and is now sharing herself with others who journey through that same shadow of the valley of death. And today she's here to share with the friends of a cancer patient how we can practically help our friends who are going through this. When she's not in her recliner encouraging people, Marla shares life as a wife and mom, a certified project management professional in the water industry, an interpreter for the deaf, and a WANA teacher. And I'm going to welcome you right now, Marla. Welcome.
Thank you. It is so great to be here.
I know we've been looking forward to this for a long time.
There's been a lot of really exciting curves on this road, but I'm glad to be here. Marnie.
Go ahead.
In Job, there's a place where he complains, and he says, "You all are lousy comforters. I could have done better." And I'm really excited that that is not at all where I'm coming from, because the friends that God surrounded me with when I was going through my valley of cancer, they were just amazing. And so when I'm talking today, I'm not saying what I wish people would have done, but I'm bragging on all the amazing things that they did. Can I start by bragging about you?
Oh, okay.
Well, I had just gone through my first week of chemo and found out what it was going to be like. And I sat down with my calendar and I put down all the things that they had told me, and I tried to figure out all the volunteers and help I was going to need. And I got to this one place where I realized I needed someone to come and just stay with me and take care of me for a week. That's kind of a big thing to ask. And so I prayed and I said, "God, who do I ask something like that?" And a couple of minutes later, and some of your listeners may remember this, but out came a Marnie minute, and you talked about me, and you said, "I'm longing to go to my sister, but I'm asking God to show me when." Well, that was clear enough for me, so I called you up, and I said, "These are the dates. I need someone," and it worked for you, and you were it. Mm-hmm. And that, Marnie, that really just shows me, I mean, when you're going through the valley of cancer, you need to see God with skin on. You just need to see God. And when God answers your prayer through a fellow Christian or through a gift of help, it is so powerful. And that's really what I want to share today, is how we can be God with skin on to someone who really needs to see God.
Mm. I think what's astounding to me is that it doesn't maybe take as much as we think it might. Like, for instance, in that illustration, I got to go for a week, but a lot of times it can happen in a moment instead of in a week. And just by being confident to go forward and to extend love to somebody, it can really make a difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite volunteers was the woman I call my comment queen, because I blogged my cancer on Caring Bridge. And she would comment in there, and everybody knew her, because every time anybody put a comment, there was a comment from her. And her name was Mary. And what a blessing she was to me. But, you know, she'd just go on there and write one sentence. But it was such a gift to me.
It's just so amazing. It's so amazing how God has equipped each of us differently, and whether it's finances or location or skill sets or interests or abilities or whatever, where he needs all of those skills. And no matter what you bring to the show today, whoever's listening, whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever your gifts are, wherever you are, as you listen, I think that you're going to be able to find something, some way that you'll be able to use to encourage friends of yours who have cancer. Well, if you haven't already done so, download the training notes that are over at marniesfriends.com. And if you have, we're just going to get rolling. And the first topic is a great topic. I know when I've even not had cancer, I've been just sick, and people have brought a meal. It has made a huge difference for me. Marla, talk to us about the magic of meals for cancer patients.
Well, what's really interesting is that there's two principles that people are using when they bring meals to someone that make it so easy. It works great for the person who's receiving, and it works great for the people who are giving. But you maybe don't realize why it works so well, and that's what I want to explain. So there's two principles. The first is to request with selection. And this is something that you may need to teach your friend who has cancer, because they have probably never been in a position where they need to ask for help before, and it's uncomfortable. And so they're gonna like, at first they might not know what they need, and then they're gonna get to a place where they've got this big white light. That's what my husband calls it, when there's one thing and you can't think of anything else. They've got this need, and they're desperate to get someone to take care of them. And, and what I want you to do is I want you to say, and this, I'm going to say this three times today, you need to take care of your volunteers. And you probably need to teach your friend this. But you need to teach them to request help with selection. And the way that you teach it is you say, you know, when we're doing meals, we do not go around and say, okay, I need somebody for Monday. And you keep going through the church until you get a yes on Monday. And then you say, okay, now I'm going to start over and I'm going to get somebody for Tuesday. Instead, you go and you say, we're doing meals for this many days. And you give people a choice of what they can do. And, Marnie, this is really important, because I'll tell you the truth. People do not like to say no to a friend with cancer. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. And it's not fun for the person asking either. So what you want to do is, you know that big need, that's really the big one, but on the way to your yes for that, you want to pave your way with yeses, so that everyone you're saying, could you help me, there's going to be something they could do, whether it's posting a blog on your site or bringing a meal or giving you a ride to chemo. However big or little it is, we want to give them a range so that they can say yes. That's requesting with selection.
Okay. Would somebody necessarily need to have all that organized before they asked for one meal?
You know, you just a couple things. You know, you don't have to, but if you can, it's just going to be easier.
Okay.
Yeah, if you like when I needed rides, and Mom said, Marla, you put them all out there. You know, you put all the rides you need out as far as you know and let people pick. You don't just do it one chemo at a time. And people were able to, some people took a day of vacation to give me a ride. Mm-hmm. Obviously, mm-hmm. You've got a warning for that. So some of the things you're asking for are pretty big, but if you can ask for big things and little things at the same time, it makes it easier.
Cool. Okay.
The other one, and this one makes me uncomfortable to even say, but when you're going to offer help, you need to do it with limits. And it's like, oh, I don't want to put limits on my offer, but I can make this clear. It makes it real. So I'm going to give you an example. If I say, let's have lunch sometime, there's no limits there. And if I say, let's have lunch sometime next month, see how it made it real?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a tricky concept. It's not difficult, but I'm gonna give you some examples. So the first would be, let's just say meals. So I'm gonna offer you help, and I want you to ask for something that I didn't offer, but you're pretty sure I'll be good with it based on the limits that I implied. Okay.
Okay.
So I could bring, we're bringing you meals. I could bring pizza, Chinese, or Wendy's. What would you like?
Okay, so I would say Chinese.
Okay, well, but see, you could have asked for something different than what I said. Like you could have asked for Burger King or McDonald's. But you wouldn't ask for pot pie, because I'm clearly buying.
Oh, I see. Sure. So as you give people the choices, you help them become aware of what your comfort level is.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another one. So I could say, would you like spaghetti and meatballs? Do you have any dietary requirements? Chicken and rice? What would you like? So in that case, I'm offering to cook to order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it one more time, and this time, Marnie, see if you can figure out what I'm not offering.
Okay.
So I've got availability on, you know, I'm flexible on Thursdays and Fridays. I could stop by. I could clean, cook, laundry, wash the windows, do work, whatever you need. What could I do? Now, what did I not offer?
Well, you didn't offer Sunday or Saturday through Wednesdays.
But I also didn't offer to spend any money.
Ah, sure.
See, some of us have got less time than money, and others of us have less money than time.
Hmm.
But God has put these limits in our life. And I wanted to start this training today by making you all really comfortable with the fact that you cannot do it all. Your friend with cancer is going to need so much help. And you have to really be comfortable with the fact that anything that you are able to do, Ephesians 2:10 says that God has prepared us in advance, has created us for good works, which he has prepared in advance that we should walk in them. If he didn't set us up, we can't do it. And so many times in my life, God has set me up to be able to do something for someone. And there's no room there for pride on my part, but there's also no room for guilt when someone asks me to do something and I can't.
Right.
Because it's both, it's the limits that God has put in my life, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Huh.
Before this topic, I have one more thing I want to share, and that is if it is ever your job to coordinate meals, there's this really fantastic website. It's called Take Them a Meal, www.takethemameal.com, and we're using this at our church, and we found out that everyone's bringing chicken and rice.
Yes.
So now we
right.
can see it's like, face out the chicken and rice.
Right. You know, we used a similar one. I can't remember the name of it now, but we had kind of a long-term cancer patient like that in our church, too, and we set something like that up, and it was wonderful to see, oh, okay, they just had lasagna and pizza and spaghetti, maybe not something tomato-based tonight. So,
right.
Yeah. But otherwise, you're really working very blind. If you don't have a system like that, you know, you can't be calling around everybody, you know, what are you taking, what are you taking, what are you taking, you know. So it makes it really nice. And then the other thing, too, is what I liked about it was it really did let me look at the whole number of days that were available for that person, like what you're talking about, instead of saying, you know, either you can do it Tuesday or you can't do anything. You know, it wasn't like that at all. It's like, well, when could it work?
Right. That's right.
Cool. Very cool. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk about the right words. We'll be right back. Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through his power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at Marnie.com. Have a great day. Hi, this is Marnie, and we are back with my sister, who is here today with me, Marla Hartson. She's hailing from Florida, and I'm up in northern Minnesota, but we are sisters, and we're together in spirit with you wherever you are. Thanks for joining us. We're talking today about Friends with Cancer, practical ways to help. We were just talking about the magic of meals, and now we're going to talk about the right words. And one of the things I know about Marla is that she's a word girl. She loves words. She has a blog over at recliner woman.com, and also her main website is joyincancer.com, and you can find her over there. Marla, talk to us about, I think maybe this right words thing, I think is maybe one of the largest challenges for a friend watching someone go through cancer, because we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to say something that might be hurtful, and tell us what you've learned from this and what you understand about it.
Well, First of all, I could do, I mean, there could be a whole training session just on things to say, and I'm not sure that I'd be the one to lead it. I'm still surprised. Sometimes I go up to someone going through cancer and I know what to say, and sometimes I'm just floored and I have no idea. A couple of things. The first is that there's a verse, and it's either Romans 12:12 or Romans 12:15, but it says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And I really want to encourage you to just take your cue from your friend. And if they're crying, you don't necessarily have to bawl with them, but don't try to talk them out of their tears. Just kind of acknowledge that this is sad. On the other hand, if they're laughing, go with them. Don't say, you're not taking this seriously. I read that in a blog one time. You're not taking your cancer seriously. Yes, he was. But laughter is a really powerful tool. And if your friend is laughing, then go there with them. So take your cue from them. And just to be honest, there were some times that I was too sick to talk. So if your friend is not real responsive to your overtures, it may have nothing to do with what you're saying. And so just don't be touchy. But there's two things that are almost always the right thing to say. And then the first is, I'm praying for you. I mean, even people who don't believe in God are usually very comfortable with someone praying for them when they're going through cancer. And the other thing is, what can I do to help? And that's where we're going today. Really, your friend with cancer needs your help a lot more than they need your words. And so that's where I want to go today. And I'm a project manager, and project managers have, they needed to explain what they did to other people. And so they spent a lot of time coming up with the right words to explain what they do. And there's three words that I think will be really helpful for you to figure out what kind of help your friend might need. So I want to share them with you. And the first is coordination. And I know that some of your listeners, Marnie, are event coordinators. And I just have to tell you that skill is not a prerequisite for a cancer diagnosis. And even if you are good at coordinating things, so much gets thrown at you when you get cancer. I mean, my life turned upside down. And it was just like all the things that were normal were gone. And it was this whole new life. It was very disconcerting. So if you have the ability to coordinate, that in and of itself might be a gift that you could give to your friend. Then before I go beyond that, I need to say again that helping your friend with cancer is not something you can do alone, and it's not even something your church can do. It's going to take a lot of people. And, Marnie, I just thought maybe we could spend a couple minutes. And since you are my sister, you know, if you could just think of some of the groups of people that you know helped me, not individuals, but just groups of people. Can you think of any?
That helped you?
Uh-huh.
Well, I know your church did, and certainly the people at your office were amazing. I think some of them maybe even contributed PTO time or something like that to you somehow. There was some help, or there was an extension of income or things like that, your employers. And then I think you had a writing group that was in there somewhere. And, of course, your family. I'm not quite sure if I'm thinking of anybody else off the top of my head.
So, yeah, it was my church, my coworkers, my family, my friends, my neighbors.
Neighbors, and then very much neighbors, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, not just my coworkers, but my coworkers' families, my husband's coworkers and their families, and not just my church, but people who had moved across the country and were no longer going to church with me, mom's church, your church. It was a lot of people that were helping me. So when I was preparing for this, I thought, too bad there's not a social media site out there that would help coordinate this, because I use CaringBridge, and they're like at the top of my blog, there's a little My Story place, and I actually put my most urgent help requests up there, and I use kind of like a bulletin, okay? But I went looking, and I found a place, and it's called Lots of Helping Hands. And, by the way, on the handout, there's a whole bunch of helpful links, so you might want to get that. So I don't know, like, if you're a coordinator, you may have ways of coordination, but it's not something, I don't know if you would need to carry it forward, or you just help them get set up, or maybe just talk them through stuff. But don't overlook that might be something you could do to help. The second word is backup. So when you're coordinating meals, if somebody doesn't come through, it's typically not the end of the world. But if you're coordinating rides to cancer and somebody can't come through, that's a bigger deal. And God taught me this, Marnie, by providing backup to me. My next-door neighbor, who has since gone to be with the Lord, and he was so frail. And he said, I could give you a ride. And I'm like, yeah, one way. But... Yeah, there was no way he could have stayed with me all day. Huh. And I said, you know what? You could. And I mean, anytime you're here, how about if you be my backup? And he said, sure. Huh. And so one day, my friend called, really good friend called, just so upset. She'd been called into work, and she teaches two-year-olds. It's not like she could just leave them unattended while she gave me a ride, you know? And I said, it's okay. God provided backup. And you could just hear that weight fall off her shoulders. You know, 'cause that's a bad place, you know. You're going to stand up your friend with cancer, or you're going to lose your job, you know.
Yeah.
And so backup is really important. Hmm. And then the third word, Marnie, and this is a big one, and it's backfill. When I go into a client to do a job with them, sometimes I need so much of one employee's job time that they can't do their job correctly. And there are things that have to get done. So we get someone to backfill them. So here is the definition of backfill. It's the things that you normally do that must be done that you cannot do because of whatever. So in this case, it would be because of cancer treatment. Now, it's not just your friend with cancer who might need backfill. If the one with cancer is a child or an elderly parent, it might be the primary caregiver who needs backfill.
Right.
So let's just talk a couple examples of what backfill might mean. For me, because my kids were 6 and 10, it was childcare. Okay? Might be yard work. Might be meals, right? If the person who has cancer is normally the one who prepares the meals, somebody else is going to have to do that. Let's say your friend with cancer is a business owner, and there might be some parts of their business that they can't delegate and they can't postpone. They've got to get it covered. And again, it might not be you doing it, but if you're helping them think through things, you know, that might be one of the things that you talk through. But backfill is the big thing. What would they need? And then you think, well, what are they normally responsible for that they might need backfill on? Does that help, Marnie?
It does. It's almost overwhelming for me to even imagine. You know, I remember thinking about it when you were going through it and some other friends that have gone through things, or even just myself going through smaller things. You know, it's almost overwhelming to try to figure out what would need to happen if you just couldn't do what you do every day, you know, as an individual. And it's part of the grieving process, isn't it? The reality that you simply can't do all those things that have to be done.
We'll talk about that later. Best under 2 more secrets of success.
Okay. All right. Well, it is very helpful. So the words that we want to remember are coordination, whether you do it or whether you just help them set up a system to do it. And once again, the download notes are over at marniesfriends.com. The second word was back up. So once the systems are in place, we have somewhere to go if something falls through, a contingency plan. And number three is backfill, to kind of help them, or just to think ahead, what is that person going to need that they normally would do but now they can't do because they're sick. Well, we're going to go ahead and plunge right forward here into the power of a partner.
Well, when I talk about this, for me, I needed a lot of partners because I needed rides. My husband, as you remember, laid down his motorcycle, shattered his knee, broke 3 ribs, punctured his lung, was in the hospital for 9 days, and was out of work for months the year before my diagnosis. So when I was going through the Valley of Cancer, he had no paid time off. I mean, just like days, you know. Every month he'd get another one, you know. And we're like, okay. So anything that I needed a ride to, I had to find a volunteer. And I am so grateful for the many people who volunteered and helped me. As a matter of fact, it was actually one of the blessings of my journey was the time that I got to spend with all these different people. I really enjoyed that time with them. It was great. But
I remember you saying that even as you were going through it, I remember one day in particular that you made a comment as to the amazing surprise blessing of getting to know all these different people that you would have never had that much time with ever under any other circumstances.
You know what, Marnie? I'm looking at my notes, and I missed something really big back under backfill.
Okay.
There's this really cool thing. There's a website. It's called Cleaning for a Reason. And women who are diagnosed with cancer, if they get a note from their doctor, they can submit it to this website, and they will find a local house cleaner who will donate once a month house cleaning for up to 4 months for free to that woman. So that is a really cool thing. And let me tell you, when you're laying around looking at all the dust and you can't do anything about it, and then when the housekeeper comes and they leave and your house smells so good and you just like, oh, yeah, I'm still sick, but I am better.
Yeah, that's great. The name of that website, again, is cleaningforareason.org. Okay, cool. Good.
Okay.
Did not miss that.
So when we're talking about partnering with your friend going through cancer, I divided it up into the 4 primary phases, kind of, that I went through. I'm going to cover this at a real high level. But doctor visits and tests, chemo, surgery, and radiation. And you need to know that not everybody's going to have all of those. They may not have them in that order, and they may repeat some, okay? And it's like everybody who goes through cancer treatment, it's all going to be different. So I just want to give you a kind of a high-level understanding because that helps when the differences come at you and you go, wait a minute, it was different. And so after we talk through this, you'll say, yep, it was different. Wasn't my memory, it really was different.
It's so always different.
When we talk about doctor visits and tests, Marnie, I really want to point out that being too sick to drive is not the only reason for needing a ride or a friend. For those first doctor visits, there's so much information coming at you that having someone with you to listen, to take notes, to say, how do you spell that, to be praying while they're listening, maybe to remind you of something you need to ask the doctor, having a friend with is so important. And maybe it's going to be a family member. I know one of the appointments, my husband went with me, but there was another appointment, and he wasn't available, and our sister Vicky went with me, and that was really great because she has a nursing background, and so she was able to hear to a deeper level than what I could. You know, she understood more of what the doctor was saying.
I think that that's always such an important thing. Even it's funny because even in a happy situation where you're in a new situation, you can't absorb everything that's being said to you. Even at a happy time, let alone at a time that's filled with a lot of stress, really, whether it's fear or trying to stay ahead of the fear or just the grief that's happening in that period of time when you're going to the doctor and he's giving you information, it's very, very likely that you aren't going to remember it all. And I would think that it'd be hugely beneficial to have someone else in there with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other reason for having someone with you is just for moral support. And I have a really really clear illustration of this. There was a couple of tests that I had, and you know, when you get these tests, they put in the contrast, and then they have to wait, and then they take the test, right? And there was one that there was so much time between when they gave me the contrast and when they took the test that they encouraged me to go shopping at the mall next door. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, going to inject me with radioactive dye, and then you want me to go walk around the mall waiting to find out how far the cancer has spread in my body. I am going to be bawling my eyes out. There is no way I'm spending that time alone walking around the mall. So I arranged to have breakfast with my friend. And actually, that was a bone scan. They let my friend sit in the room and watch while I took the scan. And so when we got done, she told me she knew me inside and out. But, yes. You know, God used that time with friends. So he taught me so much because I was really open to hearing from him right then. But then I had another test, and I thought, okay, that worked. Let's do it again. And then that one, they said, no, you're going to be sleeping this time. Your friend would just be bored in the waiting room. So, you know, all these different things that I'm telling you about when you could help, and it's going to be different all the time. Everybody's going to be different, and people are going to have different amounts of help available to them. So you don't know, you know, don't be overwhelmed by all the things that might be needed, because it might be nothing needed. And if it is everything, then God will raise up the resources needed to do that.
Wow. So, well, finish talking through, so I think that we finished maybe the doctor visits and the tests, that the main benefits there is, of course, camaraderie, but then also of extra pair of listening ears, to take notes, maybe to pray, to provide a ride with, and just to have there if you have dull times, you know, to make it go more easily for the patient as well.
Right. If you want to do one more quick, surgery is really quick because surgery is just like any other surgery, and, you know, you've helped people with that, so there's nothing there except for the emotional impact, because surgery is usually when you find out how far the cancer has spread or how well the treatment has worked. But other than that, it's just like any other surgery.
Now, with the surgeries for cancer, do they usually, they have that information right away, or you're going in to find that and that's where the emotional trauma is? You don't know, but you know that this is the test that's going to show you something.
They know some things before the surgery, but the surgery is when they really find out. So, yeah, so that's why there's a lot of emotion around that.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about chemo, like supporting a friend, being a partner for a friend who's going through chemo, that part of it.
Okay, well, the thing, what you need to know about chemo is that it's really different than any other medical treatment I've ever heard of before, because it makes you sick. So you go in at one place and you come out sicker.
More sick, right.
Yeah, and because of that, they have to pace the treatments apart, because what they're trying to do is to kill the cancer, and there's some side effects. And before I go even one step further, I've got to stop, because this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and there's all sorts of fundraising things going on, and I know, Marnie, that some of your listeners have been involved in running or walking or contributing or buying things with the pink ribbon to raise money for cancer research. And I just have to say this huge thank you. And if you don't know, it is making an amazing difference. I met a doctor who's been a cancer doctor for 20 years. And 20 years ago, when his patients would come to him, they had a 20% survival rate at the five-year point. Mm-hmm. And now today, he's at the same hospital, the same kind of patients, the same kind of cancer. They're coming in at the same place, but the five-year survival rate is now 80%. Mm-hmm. That is so huge, and it's because of the things that they've learned from this research. And another thing is that, like, when I went through cancer, I had a kind of cancer that they had to use very broad, powerful, hit them with all guns kind of chemo. But they have these targeted chemos. And if you qualify for one of those, you may be much less sick than I was. As a matter of fact, a friend of a friend, when they told her the side effects to expect, she decided not to tell anyone that she had cancer. And, Marnie, that is not greater moral fiber. I mean, she might have greater moral fiber, but that doesn't make the difference between whether or not you spend the 9 months in a recliner or you don't tell anyone. It's just that her chemo was so targeted. It's so amazing. So that what you need to know is that before your friend starts through chemo, they're going to have a class, or it might be a one-on-one, it might be a group, it was a group, but they're going to tell you a couple of things. They're going to tell you the name of the drugs that you're on, how often you have to take, you will be taking them, how many doses you'll take, and then if there's going to be a worst day, they'll tell you what that worst day is. And so my worst day was day four. And they don't use that word lightly. And do I have a minute to share a story about this?
Absolutely.
Okay. My first worst day, and like I said, it was day four. So, you know, on Monday, I was like a normal, fairly healthy person who had a cancer diagnosis. But other than that, I was just like anybody else. On Thursday, Dave took the girls to school, and I managed to make it to my recliner. And I realized that I was too sick to feed myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just overwhelmed with, you know, all the research I'd been done, and that was telling me what to eat and not eat. And my doctor had told me that I had to eat and what I should eat and not eat. And then I got to the chemo treatment, and they gave me more instructions. And I had no clue what to eat, and I was so sick, I couldn't even think about food. And I called out to God, and I said, God, there's only one person I can think of who would even be able to figure out what to feed me, and it's Nora. Would you please send her over? And then a couple minutes later, you know, I'm just kind of laying there groaning, and the phone rings, and it was Nora. And she said, can I come spend the day with you? And I don't know what she expected me to say, but I said, I just told God to send you over.
Maria,
the whole way through the Valley of Cancer, I hugged the memory of her visit, almost like, you know, like a teddy or something, because my worst day, and I was all alone and helpless, but I wasn't, because God was listening, and he sent help. And that's, you know, that's the opportunity we're talking about, to be God with skin on for somebody. If you're talking to a friend about chemo, and you say, what the two questions you want to ask is, how many treatments are you going to get, and how far apart are they going to be? Now, how many treatments are people going to get? I don't know. I've heard the lowest I've heard is four. The most I've heard is the rest of your life. You know, so somewhere in that range. How often are they going to be? Well, my doctor told me everyone gets it. Normal is every 3 weeks, but I was going to be every 2 weeks. I've never yet met someone who had chemo every 3 weeks, but I have met someone who had chemo every week and someone who had chemo every month. And I just heard my friend's mother, I guess, is having chemo every day. So I don't know what the frequency is going to be. I just know that there will be one, okay? So there'll be a frequency and a number. Why does that matter? Because in between the treatments, you're going to go through this. You know, Marnie, you and I, of course, remember childbirth, and remember when you're going through labor and and those waves, you know, and remember when you got there and the best it got was not great, and you know, and then it went from there. So that's kind of what chemo is like. But it does, at least at first, you get back to almost normal before that next chemo treatment. And depending on your chemo, you might get back to normal. So when you talk about backfill, it's not the whole time they're having chemo that's probably going to have backfill. Like I only needed a meal brought in on my worst day and the day after. So only two meals during that per chemo. So for that whole time.
Is it true that it does usually, I mean, and I know you can't tell me for everybody, but typical or for you, it did kind of build, though, as it went, that it got worse and worse. Like, you couldn't get quite back to the same level of normal that you did after the first few later on in the progression?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. That's very common.
Okay.
Yeah, very common. And actually, that's one thing. If you're scheduling rides and stuff, you need to know that every time they go in for chemo, okay, a couple things here. First is most people who go in for chemo will also go the next day because there's a shot. It's very expensive, but it's very effective at raising your ability to recover from the chemo. And so most people for chemo, they'll have to go in 2 days. I actually had to go in 4 because I was doing so bad they had to treat me for 4 days. The other thing is when you go in to get chemo, the first thing they do is they do some blood work. And they're checking to make sure that you're healthy enough to have the next treatment. And sometimes you're not. And then they will postpone it a week. And that's a coordination nightmare. And then sometimes you'll be so weak that you'll actually need a blood transfusion. And, Marnie, I just want to say, if you ever hear that your friend with cancer needs a blood transfusion, and if you can offer them a ride, please do. I did not get a ride to my blood transfusion, but Mother knew, and she was, I'm sure, she was praying hard. I asked her about it, and she said, well, I did know. But, Marnie, I had a 45-minute drive each way to and from my blood transfusion through a busy city. There was no one on the road with me either way. And I remember I couldn't think very well, which is the point, why I shouldn't have been driving. But I remember thinking, wow, it's odd that there is no one on the road. But thank God that he cleared the road for me.
Cleared the road. It's Orlando from Marla.
Well, he did.
Love
because it was like 4 days before I was sick as a dog and realized that I could not think. And how sick had I been?
Right.
You know, so... Yeah, so if your friend has a blood transfusion, that'd be a good time to give him a ride.
Really quick, before we move on, touch on radiation for just a moment.
Okay. It depends on where the tumor was located, where they will be doing radiation, and then what the side effects will be. So for me, the side effects were almost nothing. I just got better and better from the chemo. I was still recovering from the chemo, and I drove myself to radiation every day. There was no problem. But there were other people at radiation who clearly needed and got a ride. So I don't know whether or not your friend will need a ride. Marnie, this is another research thing. They have this new way, and not very many people qualify yet, but some people can get radiation twice a day for 1 week, and then they're done. For the rest of us mere mortals, it's every day for 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is Marnie. I'm visiting with Marla Hartson. She is the recliner woman. You can find her over at joyincancer.com. She also is the creator of Funny Cancer Cards, and that's another website. If you go to Funny Cancer Cards, it'll take you to What is your card company called, Marla, that you work
Greeting
with?
Card University.
Greeting Card University, that's right. But you can just type in funnycancercards.com, and that will get you over there. Before we take another little break here, Marla, tell us about Funny Cancer Cards. What's funny about cancer? Why did you make Funny Cancer Cards?
Well, the Bible says that laughter does your heart good like medicine. And some of the chemo drugs hit your heart specifically. And I found this book. It's called I'd Rather Do Chemo Than Clean Out the Garage by Fran DiGiacomo. And oh, my land, I she's my mentor in laughing. Really, you have to choose to laugh when you're going through chemo. You're not laughing because it's fun. You're laughing because you can. It's a choice. And when you do, you feel better. Physically and emotionally, you just feel better in every way. So the joy in cancer is really about the three things that God taught me. Actually, that morning when I had breakfast with my friends, instead of going to the mall and crying, that morning I said, God, how am I supposed to do cancer stop grumbling and complaining. And God said, be honest, but praise me, be grateful, and laugh. And and so I tried very hard to do those things, and wow, did they help. So it was a choice. And the very first card that I did, my very last day of radiation, someone gave me a little card that and I pulled it, and I was going to write a thank you note to my radiation staff, and it had this little one-inch square in the center. And I looked at that, and I went, pithy, I am not. So I got out, I'm more of an epistle woman, so I got out my notebook, and I wrote them a nice long letter. And at the end I said, now I'm well done, and you've done well. And I went, oh, wait a minute, that's
maybe
a one first greeting card.
And that was my first one. Well, they're great, and you can see more of those over at funnycancercards.com. We're going to come right back and talk about two more success secrets that Marla has to share with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join womenspeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. Womenspeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. Womenspeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at womenspeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Well, hi, this is Marnie, and welcome back to Marnie's Friends. We're spending the day talking about a subject that we don't like to think about, cancer, but how to be a friend to someone who has cancer. And a lot of times it's our fear or inhibitions or maybe our lack of information or just kind of being uncomfortable being around someone who's sick and not knowing how to help and knowing that you really can't make it better. I know that that causes a lot of us to kind of just step back and wish we could be helpful but don't see a way how. Marla's been giving us great tips this hour on how to really be practically helpful, to get in there and really provide some encouragement and assistance. Marla, you have two more secrets for us at the end of the hour here.
So the first one, my first secret is, it's better to give than to receive. Mm. And you're all laughing, saying, that is not a secret, but I know it better than you do. Marnie, I really, you know I've been preparing for a long time, and earlier this year I told God, I said, you know, I really don't need to talk about this, but God hooked me up with a woman who had two women in her church who were going through cancer, and I said, oh, let me tell you all this stuff so maybe it'll help. And I got done and I said, do you have any questions? And she was real quiet for a minute, and then she said, one of these women is not going to want to receive help. And it was just God. And he said, now you know what I think about you talking about this. Marnie, I tell you, it was so odd to walk up to somebody on Sunday just before chemo, so I was at my healthy best, and tell them that on this coming Friday I was going to be too sick to feed myself, and would they be willing to come over and feed me? It was just not a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And the point that I want to make is that your friend may not actually be overwhelmingly eager for your help. And there's a couple of different reasons. And maybe it's pride. Maybe they don't know that they need help. Maybe they're in denial. Maybe they're just humiliated, you know, to think of. I mean, two-year-olds want to do it themselves. You know, people talk about, you know, it was a blow to their femininity that they lost their hair. And I don't want to downplay anybody. If that was hard, that's hard. But personally, it was a lot more of a blow to my femininity that I couldn't feed myself. You know, I was like, it was hard. It was really hard. I mean, it's hard enough to have cancer, but to need help was unexpectedly difficult. And so there's a couple of things here. And the one is, if you offer help to a friend and they say no, I'd like to request that you pray about it quick and just say, God, do they really not need help? And maybe they don't. Marnie, we talked about rides, right? But I know lots of people who didn't need any help with rides. My friend, her husband was available, and he was, like, jealous of his time with his wife. Everywhere she had to go, he was going to take her and he was going to be there with her. Okay? And yeah. No, that was nobody else's job but his.
Right.
I know another, my friend, it was her mom who had cancer, and she had several children in town, and they just split it up amongst them.
Sure.
Another friend, her mom was there, and her mom was retired and able to take her, and it was no big deal. In cases like that, you might just say, you know what, keep us in mind for backup, right?
Right.
But,
right.
So maybe they don't need help, but maybe they do, and they're just not willing to admit it. Marnie, I had a friend for my biopsy, and she had just had a biopsy a little bit before, and she said, you know, your husband's going to be taking you to that. And I said, no, he's real short on time. I'll be okay. And the next day she said, you know, my brother took me when I went. And I said, I'll be okay. And the next day she said, now, you did schedule with Dave. And I said, no, I'm fine. And the next day she said, I took the morning off so that I can take you to the doctor. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever.
Huh.
Marnie, we walked out of that appointment, and I looked at her, and I said, wow, you told me, you tried to tell me. And she said, Marla, I told you, I just had this done. I knew you needed a ride home.
Right.
So God will tell you with right. who and when to push it a little further. But, Marnie, some of the people who gave to me, I don't know where they got, you know, the skill and tact, but they made me feel like I was doing them a favor by taking some horrendous gift from them. I mean, horrendously huge, not bad, but it, I mean, it's so big that it made me, you know, it just took my breath
right.
away. Somebody was going to give me this, and I was just like, whoa. And then they just worded it in a way that I was doing them a favor. So, you know, pray that God will help you figure out how to say it.
Yeah.
And the flip side of this is if you're an event coordinator and you're helping the people in your church come together to help someone, kind of follow up with people. And if they kind of act odd, you know, they kind of give you some odd response, then push a little and say, wait a minute, did something happen? Because, like Marnie, sometimes people would bring me a gift and I was too sick to speak, okay? And I was not expressing normal gratitude in that place. One
right.
time, a friend gave me a candle, and I got furiously angry from a candle.
Mm.
Well, what's that about? You know, it just it surprised me, but you can bet it surprised her. Well, actually, thank God, she didn't know. Apparently, I got angry after she walked. I controlled it until she got out of the house, and then I lost it.
Mm.
But, and one time, oh, this was, God just protected me this time, Marnie. A friend brought a meal, right? And, of course, they're bringing a meal because I'm sick, right? So mm-hmm. I walked towards the door, and I got a whiff of the food. And that's all it took, and I had to run for the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I spent the next 3 days praising God because guess what? The cook didn't bring her own food. She sent her husband. And he was talking to my husband. He didn't even notice. But can you imagine how heartbreaking it would be to have someone take one whiff of your cooking and go throw up? I mean, that's just not kind to your volunteers. So if you hear of someone who tried to do something nice for somebody going through cancer and it didn't go well, then just, you know, reach out and say, you know what? We just need to be compassionate. That has got to be so, so tough. And obviously it has nothing to do with you, or she wouldn't have asked for the meal in the first place, right? She was
right.
sick before you got there. You need so much covering. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And I think we're all pretty much addicted to having people kind of ooh and ah and really, really be very grateful for the things that we do for them. And so when someone's too sick to do that, it can be confusing if you aren't aware of the reality. They aren't not being grateful because they aren't grateful. It's because they're really very sick. Well, we just have a few minutes left to go. Let's talk about your second secret.
Okay, this is really kind of fun. God connected me with one of my children's daycare teachers. And so a sweet, wonderful friend, but we just don't cross paths anymore. And while I was going through chemo, we ended up at a different Walmart and ran into her in the parking lot. And so she knew that I was going through cancer. And then about 8 months later, I was through. I was cancer-free. Ran into her in that same, you know, happened to be there again. Ran into her, and she had just been diagnosed with cancer. Hmm. So clearly, God had connected us. So we got together on the phone, and I, you know, I'm going through all these ways. How can I help? Marty, she had everything. She had everything. She needed nothing. And I'm praying. I'm like, God, I mean, there must be some reason you brought us together. What can I do? And God reminded me, and not everybody, but for me, the morning after chemo, I felt great. It was like the best I felt all the whole cycle. And I could talk, and I always wished I had a friend there to visit with. But, you know, I was asking for so many volunteers already, I didn't go there. But I realized that I drove right by this woman's house on my way to work every day. So I said, you know what, I'm going to come by and see you the morning after chemo. Well, you know, she was kind of comfortable with that. What if she was sick? And I said, look, I'll call you first, and if you don't answer, I won't come. And if you do answer and you don't want me to come, I won't come. But if you feel as good as I did and you'd like a visit, I'll come. So she said, okay. Well, sure enough, she felt great too, and we had a great visit. And I gave her all my hats and scarves, and the next time I was able to come, and I think it was the second or third visit, she came to the door, and I said, I'm your morning after friend, and we kind of laughed about that. And then it's the third or fourth visit, and she said, Marla, you just don't know what this means to me. And I thought I did, but I'm like, okay, tell me. She said, you know how as chemo comes, you start, you know it's coming, and you dread it, and there's nothing you can do. You can't prepare. You can't get away from it. It's just, and you start, the fear starts to build. And I said, oh, yeah, I know. And she said, but every time I think about it, I remember, oh, and then the next morning, Marla's going to come. And I think about visit instead of the chemo, and it distracts me. And it helps me fight the fear. I was like, wow.
Wow, yeah.
That is powerful. Marnie, there's something about me that not everybody has, and it's not my rapier wit. it's that I'm a survivor. And every day, the morning after chemo, I would show up, and I was hope in the flesh, staring her in the face. So if there's any listeners out there, and you are a survivor, and God gives you the opportunity to be a morning after friend to somebody, think about it. But even if you're not a survivor, just a close friend, if that's a window that God arranges for you, I need to tell you, make sure that it's planned. This is one visit specifically that should be planned, because just like Christmas, the anticipation is part of the gift.
Mm. So beautiful. Well, we are at the end of our hour already. Looked forward to this for such a long time. So
proud of you,
Marla, and had such a delightful time watching God work through your life. Even though it was a sad time, it was so fun to watch him provide for you, to watch him come through even, we don't have time to go here, but even after the most devastating news, to find out that that was in his plan as well, and that turned out for the best. I mean, just the different ways that he carried you, and thank you for being here today. If you want to learn more about Marla, you can visit her website at joyincancer.com, or also check out her Funny Cancer Cards over at funnycancercards.com. Thank you, Marla, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Marnie.
Okay, and thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. I hope that it's been helpful. Always, these are kept for 4 weeks out at the MarnieIsFriends.com. You can listen for 4 weeks in the archive, and then after that, they're in the membership zone over at Marnie.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.